And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Monday with plenty to get to. Kickstart another week. We were not here on Friday, so coming up, while I was away, the NFL making a big announcement. Some of the dominoes falling since. Plus, are we a little bit closer to Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC? What's the latest? What does it mean for the SEC, for Oklahoma, for Texas? I got a lot of thoughts to get to. Also later on, if you were building the best 16-team division or conference in college football, what teams would that include? Which teams will end their championship drought next? Which teams in the NFL are the best set up for the next 3 years? Plus, Team USA suffers another embarrassing loss. DJ Uiagalelei believes he has the area figured out, and a time traveler has a warning for all of us. Get to that coming up and more throughout the afternoon. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. You can get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston, via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Head on over to our website, one-stop shop. It's got everything. You can click on our show page and there, leave a comment for our show, find the latest versions of the show podcasted, or you can also take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Monday as we start another week. I almost said Friday. I wasn't here on Friday. My brain, right, I'm just so used to saying the next day, start of the week, got plenty to do. Training camps begin this week in the NFL, a little bit closer to college football, maybe a little bit closer to expansion in the SEC. We'll get to all that. So Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, what's going on? It's Monday.
Yeah.
And it's a new week, and this is a regular week this week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right. Just make it certain.
You know, in the summertime, especially in this industry, right, you usually have these shortened weeks. This week, we're with you all 5 days. Looking forward to it. Let me start with this. We were not here on Friday, and the NFL came out and announced while we were gone over the weekend that instead of making up games this year, they too are going to go the way of forfeits. This all started with Greg Sankey in the SEC. Remember what I've said about him always being a good leader. He started this conversation, and then at the ACC media days, they talked about it, and the Big 12, and now the NFL releasing their statement saying that in lieu of rescheduling games, they'll just forfeit games. If the games in the NFL this season cannot be played as scheduled because of unvaccinated players. Now, when you read the fine print, it does say there'll be forfeits if they can't reschedule the games. So I imagine it'd be like a last-ditch effort. The NFL will try to do what they can. But at a certain point, as we were talking about with the SEC last week, you have to kind of stay on schedule, especially when there's a vaccine now and there's a way to potentially avoid all of this, or at least to a lesser degree. And the NFL announced this on Friday, and people were up in arms. And then what followed was interesting. The Minnesota Vikings, one of their coaches, in fact, their offensive line coach, Rick Dennison, former NFL player, longtime assistant, he lost his job on Friday because he refused to get the vaccine. Now, as they put it out publicly, they said parted ways. So, you know, you leave it a little open-ended. Did he actually get fired? Was it some sort of mutual agreement? Did he understand, hey, these are the rules, I have a choice to make? DeAndre Hopkins and other players were very unhappy. DeAndre Hopkins tweeted about how he would rather walk away than be forced to get some sort of vaccine. He said, I never thought I would say this. This was on Twitter. But being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. He would later delete that tweet and post another one saying that he has a good 9 years left and he's not going anywhere. A lot of times that's the problem with Twitter. right, where we can all be emotional. We can all say things in a moment that maybe we don't mean. We're just emotional. You catch us in a bad spot. Fights with a significant other. You say something, you wish you could take it back, but you already put it out there. And with Twitter now, social media over the past decade, different than before, now athletes, celebrities, really anybody, you or I, we have a way to put our thoughts out there in that moment. Right? When you're fighting with your spouse, you're having a disagreement, an argument, and you say something, and as soon as you say it, you know, like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. That's going to come back to haunt me. Took it a little too far. I didn't mean to say that. Let me take that back. The problem is, a lot of times these athletes will run to Twitter at their initial reaction. And the difference being, a lot more people see it when it's on Twitter. Plus, it doesn't really ever go away once it's on the internet. You can take screen grabs. People will save it. There's ways to go into the internet and find things that used to be online that have since been deleted. It's always out there. It'd be like if you were having that fight with your wife and you said something you knew you shouldn't have and you were having the fight in front of your entire family and they all heard you say it. That's the same idea with Twitter. People will put things out on Twitter in the heat of the moment and then delete it later on, but it was already too late. And it was seen by thousands of people, and you already put your initial thoughts out there. Now, what DeAndre Hopkins said wasn't anything bad. It's just that a lot of times when you see players speak out against something, against a new rule, against something that the league does, and then after they have a moment to sit back, relax, and they're not as emotional, they realize, eh, you know what? That was kind of a ridiculous thing to say. To retire and turn down millions of dollars and a great NFL career because of the vaccine. But it's something we've been doing since the start of this pandemic. I remember talking about this back in the summer when it came to playing sports. That with this pandemic, and really in everything in life, you have to make different assessments and choices, right? Risk assessment. You do it in every decision that you make. You know, is it worth it to get into the car and drive? Is it worth it to drive, you know, to get little sleep and then drive all night? Is it worth it? Maybe you're somebody who's afraid to fly. You have to run the risk in your head. Like, is it worth it to save the time and getting on a plane? Something I'm very afraid of doing. Every decision that we make, you do it, you run it, you calculate it in your head, figuring out, is it worthwhile? And most of the decisions, there's not a very large risk, so you make them without much of a second thought. Even ordering something right at the restaurant. Like, should I really get the spicy chicken sandwich? I know spicy food doesn't sit well with me. You always assess everything in your head and determine if something is worthwhile or not. And we've had to do that with the pandemic from day one, right? Even before the vaccine. Did you want to go somewhere with a crowd of people? Did you want to go somewhere where you had to wear a mask? Were you willing to travel where potentially your risk of getting COVID was a little bit higher? You had to make a choice around the holidays. Is it worth it to get the family together, or should we just take a year off because of COVID? Even now when you fly, they make you wear a mask. You have to make a choice. Is it worth it to go through all that? I don't want to wear a mask. Okay, well then you have to decide if it's worth driving and taking a little bit longer on your trip. Right? We're making choices all the time. And with the NFL, that's what this will come down to. The NFL made a choice. That no longer are they going to miss out on money or games or disrupt the entire season because guys don't want to get a vaccine. Once you start messing with a millionaire's money or their bottom line, they'll make some rules to try to get you in line, I guess, for lack of a better term, to make sure that they stay on schedule, play these games, get that money. Right, because what Greg Sankey said last week at the SEC Media Days and what Roger Goodell put out on, I think it was Thursday evening into Friday, same idea. Right, Roger Goodell can't force the NFL players to go get vaccinated. So instead, you put out the threat that, hey, if you don't get vaccinated, and then we can't play a game because you test positive for COVID, not only will that be a forfeit and go down as a loss for your team, but also you won't be getting paid. And on top of that, your teammates won't be getting paid for that week. And on top of it, the other team you're supposed to play that you can no longer play, yet they're not going to get paid either. And we're all going to know it's because of you. Right? It's the ultimate peer pressure move. And we know most people in life, right, will give in to peer pressure. We were all peer pressured growing up to try to do different things. Your friends try to be bad influences. They want you to do something. Right? And at a certain point, you're probably giving in. Now, Roger Goodell is trying to peer pressure the players because he can't force it. Players union is too strong. He can't force the players to go get the vaccine. This is the best they can do, which essentially forces the players. Now the players have a choice to make. Do I want to go get the vaccine, or do I want to risk being that guy in the locker room that's not only going to cost myself money potentially this year, but my entire team, cost us a loss, the other team we're facing, they're going to lose their game check for that week, everyone is going to be very upset at me. Is it worth it? For the coaches, same idea. Is it worth getting the vaccine to keep my million-dollar job coaching football. Rick Dennison of the Minnesota Vikings on Friday determined it's not worth it to get the vaccine. I'd rather just not coach. He'll be away from the league this year. The Patriots, one of their offensive line coaches as well, also won't be with the team this year over the vaccine rule. I know the Dallas Cowboys have somebody in their front office who just stays away from the team. He's working remotely because he doesn't want to get vaccinated. There is no union for the coaches or the front offices. The NFL has a little more control over them, so they can force them to get the vaccine. And the NFL has a rule. If you're not vaccinated as a Tier 1 employee, which includes the coaching staffs and the administrators in the front offices, if you're not vaccinated, you cannot be around the players or the team. We are not going to miss a game because your offensive line coach, right, refuses to get the vaccine. Because all due respect to that offensive line coach, the operation can still continue without him. Right, he can step aside, he can go sit at home, he can work virtually, whatever it is, and we can still play a game, and nobody will notice. So we are not going to miss a game, and all that money that comes with it, and the TV rights, right, the TV game, and have to pay back some of the TV contracts because of an offensive line coach causing an outbreak. They have more control over the staffs of these teams than they do the players. But this is their way to threatening the players or bribing them or, you know, calling on them to try to get that vaccine. And now everybody has a choice to make. As I said, the players, like DeAndre Hopkins, will have a choice to make. Is it worth giving up my career or at least sitting out a year and giving up millions of dollars in order to not get the vaccine? Same idea with coaches. The league made their choice. Is it worth jeopardizing this season for guys that won't get vaccinated? They determined, no, that's not worthwhile. We rather have the money. So they came up with this rule to try to force the players. And now teams will have a choice as well, where they're going to have to sit down and run the risk assessment, right, like they're Ben Stiller in Along Came Polly, and figure out what's worthwhile. Which guys are worth potentially the risk? Hypothetically speaking, say DeAndre Hopkins refuses to get vaccinated. I think he's worth it to keep in your locker room, to run the risk that, hey, he may cause us to lose a game because of an outbreak later on this year, but also by being on the field, he'll help us win a lot of games. Your star players, you'll be willing to take that risk and put up with. Pick any player. Just say Aaron Rodgers, to pick a random name out of a hat. Right, if you're the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers, we don't know if he's even going to play for the Packers, so that may not have been the right choice. But if you're the Packers, you'd be willing to put up with it. Like, oh, sure, if for some reason he causes an outbreak and we have to forfeit a game, that will be bad for the team. But you know what? We're going to win a lot more games by having him on the team. But when it comes to those back-end players, when you're trying to fill spot number 53 on the roster, and it's coming down to two unproven guys, and they're pretty similar to one another, and they're both young players, and one is vaccinated and the other is unvaccinated, if I'm an NFL team, and there's not much of a difference on the field, and they're the 53rd player anyways, they're like a backup special teamer, right? I imagine NFL teams will be taking the vaccinated players just so it's one less player to worry about, hey, this guy could cost us a game. Because, again, if you read the memo, it's about unvaccinated players that will lead to forfeits. We know vaccinated people can still test positive for COVID, and the NFL is understanding that, hey, there's only so much we can do in all this. But one of those things we can do is have these players get vaccinated. If there's still an outbreak to come from it, we'll work with you, right? Because you did all that you could. But if this is going to come from players refusing to get the vaccine, then we're not going to work with you. We can't wait around all year trying to reschedule these games, playing on a Wednesday, then pushing your next game back and scheduling something later in the year. It's just not going to happen this year. We did that last year. Now there's an alternative. There's a response. There's something we can do to try to counteract that. And that's what the NFL is trying to have their players understand. And by the way, I'm sure a lot of people saw this. They were very unhappy with this idea. How can the NFL try to force these players, or how dare they, right, withhold their checks, yada, yada, yada. The NFLPA actually agreed to this. So while there are some players unhappy, like a DeAndre Hopkins, I think there were others that tweeted about it as well. Cole Beasley has been very vocal about this, wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills. The majority of the players okayed this. They understood that, hey, yeah, you know what, we have to go out there and make sure the games can be played, and we don't want to miss out on our paychecks. The NFL Players Association went along with this idea as well. So obviously, the NFL likes the idea. They came up with this rule, and the players agreed to it. Some of the coaches don't agree with it. They're now out of a job, at least for this year. But these are the choices that these players, coaches, teams are going to have to make. Just like you or I have been making choices throughout this pandemic. Like, is it worth going out to eat, or should we just order in? Is it worth getting on a plane, or should I just drive? It'll take a little bit longer, but it's a little bit safer. We've been making choices throughout this pandemic and really throughout life. You make choices every day. And even if you don't realize it, you're running the analysis in your head wondering, like, is this risk worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze? And now when it comes to the NFL, these players, coaches, teams, they have to make these choices as well. Is it worth it to get the vaccine to be able to continue my NFL career and make millions of dollars? Or to be able to continue to coach in the NFL, right, and make millions of dollars? Or should I step away, like Rick Dennison, the assistant with the Patriots, and I'm sure there'll be others as well. Here was Jeff Darlington was on ESPN Radio talking about the Players Association and their agreement or going along with this idea from the NFL and what Roger Goodell announced last week.
Well, to me, one of the more interesting elements of it is the fact that the NFL Players Association has come forward and sent a memo to its contingency, its players, and said that really showed no animosity toward the NFL for this, basically saying these are similar rules to what were in play last year that were collectively bargained, and basically that's the way it's going to be. I don't sense much in terms of like the NFLPA planning to put on some kind of fight to defend players that are choosing to not get vaccinated.
Jeff Darlington about the NFLPA side. And then here was Ezekiel Elliott, where he found out about this apparently in a press conference, and you can see why the NFL made this rule. Because where do you want to hit a guy wearing Hurts? Right in that pocketbook with their money. Here was Ezekiel Elliott talking with the media in Dallas when he was told what the plan was for the NFL for vaccines this year.
If unvaccinated players create an outbreak, a team could be forced to forfeit, and if that happens, players from both teams will miss their game checks that week.
You said game check?
Yeah.
I mean, you just told me something new, but like I said, it's everyone's body. You got to respect that. You can't just, I mean, a check is only monetary. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you can't put a price on someone's health or, you know, what they think will make them feel good or not make them feel good. So, I mean, that's, like I said, you're kind of.
That was Ezekiel Elliott. Except, really, we do put price tags on health, and football players do it all the time, right? That's the decision they make. They know that by playing in the NFL, you risk long-term health issues, whether it's with the head, concussions, CTE, or just the inability to live a normal life after retirement, to be able to walk right. But when they throw all that money at you, right, and that's your opportunity to be a star and play professional football and make a lot of money, you make that decision. You run that risk analysis in your head, and you say, yeah, it's worth it. It's worth the risk of potentially getting injured to go make millions of dollars and play football for a living.
Here's a question, though.
Yeah.
What if there's an outbreak among players that have already been vaccinated, which has happened already?
Well, I imagine,
among the general public.
Yeah, I imagine the NFL will be a little more willing to work with those teams because they did what they could, right? Because they're trying to do what they can to avoid such a situation.
And are they going to be willing to at least come out and admit they were wrong and eat crow?
Wrong about
Doubt
what?
It.
Wrong about what?
Like, okay, we're going to punish you for not getting this vaccine, but then the ones that are vaccinated, well, they get it anyway, and the unvaccinated players can say, well, I told you so.
Well, I don't know if that proves right or wrong. You'd have to do, well, the real study would be try to go through an NFL season with nobody vaccinated, and then try to go through an NFL season with everyone vaccinated and see what the difference is, which obviously we can't do. But we do have the data in the real world, right, where there are breakthrough cases because nothing is 100%. You could get vaccinated and still get COVID. We've seen that. We had someone in the building that happened to. But the data just does suggest, right, that the chances certainly decrease vastly when you get vaccinated. So that's the hope for the NFL. The NFL, I'm sure, realizes we're still going to have positive COVID cases or positive COVID tests. But the idea is to minimize that risk by allowing these players to get vaccinated.
Or do certain special interests have their ear?
I think they just care about playing games. I think when you talk to owners and millionaires and talk about the concern of how they could miss out on games being played and lose money and then you have to pay back your TV partners and this and that, that's when they want to start coming up with some ideas to try to avoid those situations. If you said, hey, there's a risk that you may lose some money this year by not playing all your games, they said, okay, well, let's try to avoid that. Let's come up with a new rule so we can make all the money we're supposed to.
Now, here's another question.
Yeah.
Well, if they get the vaccination, uh-huh, like the league tells them to.
Yeah.
And they end up having health issues because of it, which, again, has happened in the real world.
That's the risk you run. You have to make that choice. If
well,
it's
you,
worthwhile
the,
to take
you
that
play,
chance
you,
to
you
be
run
able
this
to play
risk
in
playing
NFL.
The game, too.
Yeah. So they make their decisions regardless. It goes back to what I was saying. We all have to make choices for you to get vaccinated yourself. Right? You made that choice. Is it worthwhile? Maybe you think, I'm in my 20s. I'm healthy. I don't have to get it. That was the decision you made. If your company says, and a lot of companies are doing this, I've read articles about companies here in the state of South Carolina that have let employees go because they won't get vaccinated. If your company tells you, like, hey, you either have to get vaccinated or you have to go work somewhere else, then you'll sit down and you'll think about it and think, is it worth keeping this job? which is what NFL players may have to do. DeAndre Hopkins threatened, like, I may retire. Okay, well, that's the choice you can make. You can either get vaccinated or you can retire. Teams will be making choices about this. Players now have to make choices. Coaches have already had to make choices over the weekend, and the league made their choice. We are not going to miss out on games because players refuse to get vaccinated. That was the NFL's choice, and now everyone else has to respond. Coming up, the SEC. Looks like we're one step closer to Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. I got a lot of thoughts on this. What would it mean for Oklahoma and Texas? What would it mean for the SEC? And why it wouldn't be good for college football? We'll dive more into this next. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, we may be even closer to Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. What does it mean for all involved? Plus, why it reminds me a little bit of the wrestling world. We'll get to that coming up here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We have some River Dog tickets to give away once again this week as they return home. Best record in all minor league baseball. Right here in our backyard. We'll give away some of those tickets. Maybe even later today for Wednesday's game. Give you enough time to come pick them up. But we have tickets to give away this week. Also going on this week, I know you're shocked to hear about the Red Cross Blood Drive going on over at Cruise Chevrolet. This Friday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can sign up today at redcrossblood.org. Use the sponsor code CRUISE in all caps. Walk-ins are welcome, but they prefer appointments, which you can make online, and all donors will receive a complimentary certificate for an oil and filter change, tire rotation, and more. This Friday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Cruise Chevy. Save a life, give blood. It's been a while since we had one of those. Getting back in the blood drive game over there at Cruise. Go online, make your appointment, redcrossblood.org, and use the sponsor code CRUISE. So I've referenced this plenty of times on the show. I think it's Jay Billis who has the line that whenever you want to know why something is the way it is, it's simply because of lawyers. Because there is either a lawsuit or they're trying to avoid a lawsuit. You ever go somewhere and you think, like, that's a ridiculous way to do things. Why do we have to do it that way? Because either somebody got sued, you know, to make a quick buck, or they're afraid of ever getting sued. So that's why things are the way they are, because of the risk or the fallout from a lawsuit. But the other thing you can always use to explain anything is money. It's a lot like in baseball, right? There's an expression in baseball that's just baseball. In fact, John Sterling, it's become a cliche for the Yankees broadcaster because he always says that. Well, that's baseball, Susan. And people always reference that line. It's become a cliche within the sport. Whenever something happens that you can't explain, you watch a baseball game, there's always quirky things that are happening or that are happening. And to explain away, you can't. So you just, well, that's just baseball. Right? It's kind of like in life when you say, well, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't explain it. So it is what it is. Well, that's baseball. Like, how did that happen? Or what just happened there? Look at this crazy play. How did that happen? What was that guy thinking? Well, that's just baseball. And it's the same idea with money. Like, why are things that way? Well, because of money. Money talks. We know that. Going back to what we were talking about to open the show, why did the NFL come out with that memo last week? Well, because of money. They don't want to lose money. They want players to get vaccinated so they can play all the games this year and make all their money. Same idea with the other big story in the sports world, which also comes to us from football, except collegiate football. And that's that we may be even a step closer than where we were on Thursday with Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. Now, I talked about this on Thursday when we first got this story. And as I said at the time, I thought it was a leverage play. I did not see it happening. I've already come around a little bit here in the, 3 days since that it looks more and more likely because that's what the reports are. And according to reports, Oklahoma and Texas plan to tell the Big 12 today that they will not be renewing their contract or their media rights deal went up after the 2024 season. Many also believe that if this becomes official and they do go to the SEC, that they will also pay the fee to leave early and join the SEC next year, pay $80 million. I've seen all sorts of different numbers floated around, but I think it'll be about $80 million per team to leave the Big 12 and join the SEC. But the idea is they'll make about $25 million more per year by being in the SEC, so you can make up for that loss pretty quickly. Right? You'll break even in the first 3 years, and then you'll start making a lot of money, a lot more money, by just being in the SEC. So the question is, right, why will this happen? Again, because of money in this case. For Oklahoma and Texas, they'll make more money. For the SEC, they'll make more money. The concern last week when we were talking about this on Thursday, as I was saying, I don't know if they'll have the votes. We know Texas A&M has been very vocal about it. They haven't hid anything. They've come out publicly and said, yeah, we're not happy about this. We don't want Texas in this conference. So we know Texas A&M is against this idea. Many believe Missouri is against this idea. There's a reason why they joined the SEC, to get away from these teams. But then the thought is that those may be the only two, and no one else would vote against this. It was a few years back, about a decade ago, when some of the schools like South Carolina and Kentucky and Georgia and Florida got together and wanted to make sure they were the only teams in the SEC in their state. Apparently, that is no longer of importance for these schools, according to reports and people in the know.
But then again, you might have some other schools thinking, okay, we already have to try to get past Alabama. We already have to try to knock them off. Now you're bringing in these two?
Well, that's why if I'm a Gamecock fan, I would not like this idea at all. Things are just getting a lot tougher for you. You're just dropping further down on that on the hierarchy of the SEC. But why is this happening? Again, money, right? Because the SEC, because of the teams. Why would Oklahoma and Texas want to leave? Same reason why I thought it was maybe just a leverage play, because they've been carrying the Big 12 financially. So maybe they want a larger portion of the pie. There's a reason why, if and when those two schools lose, or leave, I should say, the Big 12 will disappear, because they're holding on. Those are the only two teams. Without them, you got nothing. You got Kansas basketball. That's about it. And Kansas football, which football is always the most important thing, is one of the worst programs we have in the country. So I thought it was more of like a leverage play. They've been carrying the conference for all these years. Get more out of them. Instead, they're choosing to just go to the SEC and get more there. It's similar to why Notre Dame remains independent. Sure, they could join the ACC, but they believe they can make more money by being on their own and also have more freedoms. So why join another conference? Just like Oklahoma and Texas, is like, we could go to the SEC. We're doing everything for you here in the Big 12. We could go to the SEC, make even more money, and have it be easier on us in the sense of not being the flagship of the conference. But you ever in life know somebody, or maybe you've done it before, that has taken an opportunity just for more money, right? Where you have a job you like, and maybe you wish you were making more, maybe you think you deserve more, but you like what you're doing, you like the people you're working with, you have an affordable home, right? You drive a good car, you got whatever you need. And then somebody comes along and they offer you a job and you really like the job you have currently, but they offer to give you a bunch more money. And you think, well, it's hard to turn this down. And we've all been, or some of us may have been in that position, but if we were all in that position, we'd all have the same dilemma. Now, you may love what you do, but if someone's going to come double your salary for a job that you may not like as much, we'd all sit here and say, like, oh, it's not about money. But when they put that money on the table, you're going to have quite the debate. Like, should I take twice as much money? That'd be make a lot easier life for me. But then you go take that job, and it's a little bit harder, and it's not as fun, and you're working more hours, and you never are home with the family, and you can't enjoy the money you're making, and this and that. And you thought, like, yeah, I was a little more comfortable back at that other job. Didn't have as big of a profile, didn't have as big of a title, wasn't making as much money, right? But I had to work less hours. It wasn't as stressful. I got my weekends off. I was home by 7. Now, sure, you may have a nicer car, and you may have a bigger house, and you have the bigger title and the more impressive business card and the higher salary, right? But you're not as happy. Things aren't going as well. The job itself isn't as good. And as they say, right, sometimes you can't get better than good. Sometimes just settle for good. And my point in all this being, for Oklahoma and Texas in the Big 12, especially at Oklahoma, who wins the Big 12 every year in the playoff under Lincoln Riley, and just about every year, you're going to join the SEC. I don't think it bodes well, certainly for Texas, but also for Oklahoma as well. You enter a much tougher path. Now, why would this decision be made? Again, because I go back to money. I talked about this a little bit on the show Thursday. You can say the same thing about the NFL. Jimmy Haslam and the Cleveland Browns for years, or James Dolan and the Knicks for years, didn't make decisions based off of trying to win championships, but instead trying to make as much money as they could or improve the value of the franchise as much as they could. For Oklahoma and Texas to join the SEC, it's not to give them a better chance to win national titles, but it's a chance to make more money. For SEC schools to vote, yes, let's have them come in, it's not to better their opportunity of winning. It's to help them try to make more money. Right? Like, why would Ray Tanner, Shane Beamer, South Carolina want Oklahoma and Texas to come to the SEC? It's only going to make their jobs harder. They're already in the bottom tier of the SEC. Now you're going to add two programs that will immediately leapfrog them in the conference, only further pushing them down. Why would they ever want that? To make their job harder. To have to now deal with Georgia, Florida. We have no idea how the divisions will shake up. Right, but Georgia, Florida every year, Alabama every once in a while, potentially Oklahoma and Texas every year, every once in a while. Why would you ever want to make your schedule, which is already one of the toughest in the country, even harder for a team that already can't compete in the conference? Why? Because it's not so much about winning on the field, but it's winning with a bank account. Right? Because you want to make more money. It always comes down to money. Why does Greg Sankey want these teams? For more money. But greed isn't always, the best thing. Competition is what is healthy. And I said it on Thursday, and I'll say it again. I don't think this is good for college football. Now, for Oklahoma and Texas, what would this mean for their opportunities to try to win a national title? Because we know in the Big 12, Texas, it's been far too long, right? 15 years. Oklahoma, for the last 20 years, hasn't been able to win that big game. Would joining the SEC make a difference? And also, as I already teased or kind of gave away, what would it mean for college football? We'll get to that coming up. Because I'm a little reminded of the wrestling world, of entertainment, the world of entertainment, in how the SEC is getting bigger, stronger, more powerful. And I got more thoughts on all this that we'll get to coming up next. It's the Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, more thoughts on Oklahoma and Texas potentially joining the SEC and why everyone, I think, comes out as a loser in this. It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. You take one day off, you feel rusty. It was a long weekend, come back. Still trying to get into the flow of things this week, but it's good to be back with you today and all week long. I got into it last segment, but not as deep as I wanted to when it comes to Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. I think everyone except the SEC itself, like the conference, Greg Sankey, and their bottom lines come out as losers in all this. You can make an argument about whether this is better for Oklahoma or Texas to try to win than staying in the Big 12. I think it hurts. There are some pros and cons. The pros are, right, you have a better chance as a 2 or 3 loss team coming out of the SEC to make the playoff than you do out of the Big 12. You lose 2 games in the Big 12, that could be your season. So you have a little more wiggle room if you join the SEC. Now, you could also respond to that by saying, well, once we go to 12 teams, that may change, and it may also be a little bit easier to make it from the Big 12, if and when we get to that point. But on the flip side, you look at like a Texas. I mean, they couldn't win the Big 12. You think it's going to get easier in the SEC? And for Oklahoma, while they control the Big 12, they're stepping into a tougher conference and have struggled against these types of teams once they reach the playoff. Others believe that for Oklahoma, this will help them. You know, when they couldn't beat, say, Alabama in the playoff, well, by facing these teams all year, and maybe altering a little bit of your recruiting to match up with these teams a little better, that will better your chances in the long term to compete with this conference. We'll find out. Apparently, we'll see if this happens, right? We'll find out in the coming years if this makes things a little bit easier or more difficult. I think for Texas, it only makes things more difficult. Oklahoma, I would trust more entering the SEC. But I think we all come out losers in all of this as just college football fans. I think the SEC teams are losers in this because while they may make more money, it's going to be tougher to win on the field. Right, you think this benefits Missouri's football program in terms of winning the SEC or Kentucky or South Carolina or all those second-half teams that are still trying to catch up to all the others in the SEC, and now you just want to throw in Oklahoma and Texas as well? Won't make it any easier. But I think also as fans we lose because competition is healthy. We talk some wrestling around here every once in a while. I think back to the wrestling world. Right back in the day, depending on how old you are, maybe you used to be in wrestling, it was all about territories. And Vince McMahon was nothing more than just, the son of his father who started the wrestling, whatever they used to be known as, WWF, whatever it was back in the Northeast. And then eventually now Vince McMahon's the biggest name in the industry. Right? But we had all these different territories. And even when I was growing up, you had WCW and you had ECW and you had the WWF at the time. And eventually, WWF got so big and powerful that it ate them up. right? It took on WCW, and it took on ECW. And for a lot of wrestling fans, they would tell you that's when the product lost them. Because when it becomes just that one company without much competition, everybody suffers. Nowadays, we do our wrestling wrap-up every Thursday. You hear about all the different organizations that are coming out in the wrestling world. And you hope that it leads to a better product for all involved. But even like, say, Ticketmaster as well. Ticketmaster used to have some competition. I mean, not in the early 90s when Pearl Jam used to fight with them. Then we had Live Nation came along, and then Ticketmaster bought out Live Nation. And when you have just that one source to buy all your tickets to everything, they can charge whatever fees they want because you got nowhere else to go. And in the college football world, if and when Oklahoma and Texas join the SEC, and already the best conference of college football now gets even stronger. And then we say goodbye to the Big 12, and we're down to four power conferences. And then some of the Big 12 teams will go to maybe the Big 10, or I don't know, the ACC grabs somebody. Who knows what happens with these schools? Or they try to make their own conference, and it's not as good as the Big 12 once was. Right? When you put more and more power in the SEC, the conference that is already winning the majority of national championships, and you only make them stronger, I think it is worst off for the entirety of the sport and for us as football fans as well. Doesn't make things as good. The product does not become as good as it once was. Now, will it turn me away from college football? Of course not. But I prefer how things are now, where you have five different powers, you have Oklahoma and Texas over here, and you have the SEC over here. I think that's better for the sport. I think that's better for us college football fans, even if you're an SEC fan, especially if you're a Gamecock fan. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Matt in Charleston is with us. Matt, what's going on? How are you?
Luke, how are you doing today?
Doing well. What's up?
I've always thought that success is measured in numbers. Mm-hmm. The more you have, the more you can afford to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt to lose when you have a lot. The deal with Texas and Oklahoma, I believe, is a done deal. I don't believe it just popped up overnight. I believe the paper in Houston is the one that leaked the story first.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard people talk about how reputable of a paper that it is. So I believe that it's a done deal. They're just trying to cross all the T's, dot all the I's, and sort out all the dead bodies. To think that it's just going to stop with Texas and Oklahoma, I think, is naive. I think the SEC is going to want more because I believe the SEC is money and power hungry. But when I say that if you've got more, you can afford to lose some, I think teams are going to be shown the door out of the SEC so they can bring in schools that have more of a tradition. Even if they're not doing well now, it's simply the curiosity that'll draw the higher ratings with people watching. I would much rather watch Texas play Alabama or Texas play Mississippi State, however they put them in conference, then you're going to want to watch Vanderbilt, Missouri.
Right.
Are you going to want to watch the Gamecocks and pick one, Arkansas, something like that? And I believe teams like South Carolina are eventually just going to be weeded out of the SEC because they simply don't support the numbers. I believe they're getting, $44 million a year? Is that what they get paid from the SEC? You'd know better than I.
Yeah, it's something like that. From the SEC network.
Okay, well, if you don't justify the numbers to make the check, why keep them?
Right.
Why wouldn't you go after Clemson instead of South Carolina to join the SEC?
Yeah,
it's not that South Carolina's not a good school, and it's not that I don't love my Gamecocks, but I mean, it's like you've always said, it's money and it's numbers.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. It's an interesting thought. I just don't think it will ever happen because of the contracts. I don't think any teams will ever get kicked out. But I will say, somebody was talking about this over the weekend while I was out of town. We as humans never give anything back. Right? You know, just want more and more and more. You're never going to give anything back. We never want to do that. So the more power you give to the SEC to bring these teams on or to create, say a super conference, you have to be careful if you are, say, a South Carolina or a Kentucky because you're not operating from a point of leverage. Like Alabama has nothing to worry about. They're not going anywhere. But if we ever get to a point where even the SEC says it dissolves and you have to go to some sort of super conference, then you pick the top teams and it won't include, say, a South Carolina. And you give that power, you give that idea to somebody like the SEC, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I got more thoughts on this. We'll get to the calls as well, but we have to take a break. Come back with your calls, more thoughts, wrap up hour one as well. It's the Maurer Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Maurer Midday Show.
It's the Maurer Midday Show with Luke Maurer here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, I'll have more thoughts to what Matt just said from Charleston as he called in with an interesting idea. I don't think teams will get kicked out of the SEC, but I do have some thoughts about that idea. Plus, as he kind of already teed up, we will draft, or I will give you my top 16 teams if I were to put together a super conference in college football. We'll do that next hour. But in the meantime, I want to get to more of you. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. So first, let's go back to the phones because John is with us. John, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Luke. Good show as always.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a Carolina fan, and I'm not wringing my hands over this. I think Texas, Oklahoma, if they get into it, I don't think it's going to affect us that much. We might play them once or 4 years of the schedule. Who knows? But we don't lose that many recruits to them. And if Shane Beamer does what he says he's going to do, let's say we do have a Cinderella season, like a 9-1 season, we might be able to beat Texas and Oklahoma. And I just wonder why Carolina people are just, going crazy thinking, oh, well, this is going to be, so bad that they come into the conference.
Yeah, I get it. You won't have to face them too often. And if you're South Carolina, you hope you get into a position where you can compete with those teams. And I appreciate the call, John, and the kind words as always. But it's just the idea of a tough conference is getting tougher when you're towards the bottom half of that conference. If you're in Alabama, you say, hey, bring anybody on, right? We can handle them. South Carolina's not at that point yet. So you already have to leapfrog a few different teams, and now you add more teams to that list with an Oklahoma and a Texas. I just think it makes their path more difficult. Now, as John alluded to, right, you want to get to the point where it doesn't matter who you're playing or who's in your conference, like in Alabama right now. You think Nick Saban is sweating this? He doesn't care. They'll beat those teams too. They'll continue to win the SEC. But if you're a South Carolina, a Tennessee, certainly a Vanderbilt, a Kentucky, those teams that are trying to get towards that point or as close as you can, I think this only makes that road even more difficult. One more before we go here at the top of the hour. Rob's with us. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What's up?
I think a lot of it, you got Texas and Oklahoma wanting to join the SEC because they look at the two very middling programs that left the Big 12 for the SEC in Missouri and Texas A&M. And, with the first 4 years, Missouri was in the league. Didn't they win the East like three times out of the first 4 years? It's kind of like a fake it till you make it thing with all the media hype and attention on the SEC. Other than the upper echelon teams, but I mean, Mississippi State don't add anything to the SEC. Schools like that, it's going to be interesting. And if I was a Carolina fan, I don't know how much that I would like it because you're probably going to have someone come over from the West to the East. If not two teams, so they can keep Texas and Oklahoma together. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes up.
Hour two next.